Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dreams Unlimited Travel Podcast. My name is John Magi, and I'll be your host. And in this episode, we're going to talk about dining on the Disney Wish. I am joined by our Dreams Unlimited Travel agent, Chris Vorobek.
Hi.
And our producer, Craig Williams.
Ahoy, hoy.
So very excited to be talking to Chris this week. He recently went on a Disney Wish sailing with his family and has some great insight as to what's going on with that ship and their experience. This week, we're specifically going to focus on the dining on the Disney Wish. He had a chance to do all of the restaurants in the full rotation, which is great to share with folks who are watching our shows and are interested in sailing on the Disney Wish. So Chris, real quick, give everybody a recap. What sailing were you on? Who went? What was the circumstances behind that?
Absolutely. We were on the Disney Wish. We were on for President's Day weekend. We had a, I have a 12-year-old son. So he had Monday off. I took him out of school for Monday. Don't let the school hear. But we took advantage. I had not been on the Disney Wish before. We were going to be on the inaugural, but when they had to push the inaugural back some. So we didn't do that. We decided to do Europe instead, do Italy and Greece last summer. So this was my first time on the Disney Wish. And I was really excited to do this. It was my spouse's birthday weekend. So we went fancy pantsy and did a concierge sailing. So we were up on deck 13, which was very nice, right near the concierge lounge, and they have a nice deck area. So I'll talk about food in there a little bit. But I tell you, one of the things that I was really blown away by was the caliber of food generally on board the Disney's fifth and newest ship. They've really kicked it up a notch. And that's true in the three main dining room areas. That's true in the, I think in Marceline Market, which is for those who have been on other Disney ships, that's the kind of buffet area. It's in the kind of back of the ship. And then they have a quick service area, which they have on the other ships, but this one is spectacular. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. Which do you want me to start with, John?
Well, let's start with a little bit of definition for folks. I realize that we have a very Disney savvy audience, but maybe folks don't know. What does Disney do for dining that's different? Talk about rotational dining.
So you have a rotation amongst three. Disney has three main restaurants, and you will switch restaurants every night. The awesome thing is your servers will go right with you. So you'll have the same service team the entire trip, and you will visit each restaurant a different night. And that will be on your Disney Cruise Line Navigator app. It'll tell you where to go, what table you're at. So all that's set in there. But and so each restaurant has a different theme. On the Disney Wish, there are three new ones. They have Arendelle, which is Frozen. They have a World of Marvel, which is Marvel. And then they have the third one is called 1923, which is the year that the Walt Disney Company was created. And so it's very it's a little bit more fancy, I would say, but still very comfortable. It has a lot of memorabilia about Disney movies, Disney parks, even Disney Cruise Line, other things all throughout it, and is really a lovely place. So it's a great way to.
Yeah. What was the first night?
Our first night, we started in World of Marvel. And this is it has screens, so a lot of the story is told through screens. And while the story isn't being told, they're showing scenes of Marvel movies, which is fun. I have a 12-year-old, and Nick was kind of testing us on to see if we knew all the characters. I think I did pretty well, but I didn't score 100%.
Yeah, I tried testing Kevin, and he just kept saying, "Is that Ant-Man? Is that Ant-Man?" No, we're not all Ant-Man. Sorry.
Well, they have, and the little story is that, you know, there's a story, of course, it's Disney. They have a story, and there's bad guys who are coming on the ship. And so you have to, you shrink the ship, and, you know, they have these generators, cosmic generators or something. You know, it's the Ant-Man technology on board. It finishes up with Spider-Man coming on board. I think it used to be Ant-Man came through, but I think not enough people, not everyone knew who Ant-Man was, particularly.
Only Kevin. Only Kevin. Yeah. Right.
Well, they now have Spider-Man who comes through. So, I got a great photo with, he comes around to all the tables at the end, and, you know, Nick still was excited to see Spider-Man. So it was, that's great fun. As I say, the food, I'm trying to remember what we got. I have to say our dining team were, just, I think the dining teams on Disney ships are exceptional anyway, probably on most cruise ships, but on Disney ships, they're really exceptional and really go above and beyond to look out for you. Our dining team on this cruise, I mean, on a 3-day, you know, you kind of don't get to know them. They were phenomenal. I wanted to take them home with me. They just really helped make our trip very, very special. And always one of the things that I like to do is kind of get, okay, what's really the good thing? And they'll generally tell you, yeah, get this, stay away from that kind of thing. And I should have looked before we started to see what I had on each of these things.
The Worlds of Marvel menu for me, it feel like it's, the restaurant itself is very reminiscent of Animator's Palette, and I feel like the menu also kind of has that same feel. Like there are some interesting things on it. Like they do have like bao buns on there, and you know, just a salad, iceberg wedge, creamed potato soup, stuff like that. It's kind of all over the place with their menu. It's not like locked into one specific theme where you'll talk about it more with 1923 and Arendelle. Arendelle is very much trying to go for a Scandinavian style restaurant, and 1923 is really giving off like steakhouse vibes in a way. So this one's just kind of like your mixed bag. There's a little bit, you know, you might have a German entree, but you went with something Asian inspired for the appetizers. So it's
like, as you talk about it, I think I got the schnitzel in 1923. So it was good. It was great. So,
and I think what's great about Arendelle is, you know, nothing a kid likes more than pickled fish.
So, you know, that's well, I was actually worried about that because Nick's he's not picky, which is good. But I was like, oh my goodness, is there going to be able to something in there that he can eat? And he did fine. So you don't need to worry about that. They're good about making sure that that there's something for the kids.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The menus are diverse enough. So, you know, one of the things that I have to do is I have to also step back. My impression of the Marvel restaurant was that it was very, very chaotic. Yep. That there was so much going on and so much input and so much going on, but it's not meant for me, right? Correct. It's meant for Nick. It's meant for kids. So I want to hear, you know, was he into it? Was it really, did he think it was cool? Do you think it was lame? Was it like, oh, Disney's trying to do this? Or was he like excited about it?
No, Nick still gets a big kick out of Marvel movies, and so he enjoyed it. You're right. I was trying to think, we were talking about it last night. Was it we were just at a restaurant a couple of weeks ago here in DC that was so loud you could barely talk to the person across the table from you. And I don't remember the space being that loud, but definitely it is, there's volume there, and it is, you know, I think if you're a parent, having that kind of show going on is helpful because those dinner times can be, particularly if you have smaller ones, when Nick was four, you know, okay, we need entertainment. And it meant that I didn't have to do jazz hands all the time. So it was awesome. But even at 12, he got a real kick out of it. And as I say, we were playing the game of, you know, what movie was that one from and kind of thing. And even going through and remembering, okay, do we like that movie? We're not big fans of Doctor Strange, the second one. The second movie creeped me out. So we were talking about the movies as they would come up on the screens, which was fun. And you know, made for a nice light discussion. And I think like Disney likes to embrace the nostalgia stuff and focus on together time and stuff like that. So it was all, it was very fun for us.
So you've got this restaurant that's, you know, interactive and it's got stuff going on. Let's talk about 1923. I know what, that's a big contrast. Beautiful space. I loved it. My opinion, I thought that was the best meal I had
on
the ship. I thought it was fantastic. But what about Nick? Did Nick think like, oh, now I'm bored because I went from exciting restaurants to this?
Yeah, so it's no. I mean, Nick's 12, and his dad's who like to eat. So we go out to restaurants a lot. So he's used to that. There was a table with a big table next to us that had probably 15 people, and half of them being kids. And the kids were fine because they were entertaining each other. But if you only had one kid, some of the waiters do a good job of making sure that the kids are entertained. Also, if you need your food brought out right away, they'll do that. And then the kids can go to the kids club if they want. And I don't think it's an accident that there's a slide down to the kids club that's literally right outside 1923, right?
It's kind of like the laundry chute for kids.
Right, exactly. All right. Okay, go. Slide down the slide and be gone with you. So it's I think he actually got a kick. I mean, Disney has been a part of Nick's life literally from the time he was, his first Disney World trip was at 3 months old. So he's grown up with this. And I mean, you can see his crazy father. So, you know, it's this has been part of what he, so he was actually enjoying a lot of the nostalgia and what we got to see. And, you know, it was, I think he really got a kick out of that. He's not like every kid. So, I mentioned on our last show that Nick right now pretty much eats, breathes and sleeps, basketball. If this was an NBA room, we probably would have never gotten him out of there. But so I'm glad it wasn't that.
And then, the third restaurant is Arendelle.
Correct. I'll actually be, did you find that one cluttery? Cause that one's even, that one we did find hard. It was hard to talk to the, you know, there wasn't much conversation because the show is really the focus in that one.
First of all, I'm not, here's the deal. This shouldn't be about me because she went on the cruise, but I am not a fan of the communal tables.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of, I would like to be able to eat and enjoy my food. I don't need it to be quiet all the time or anything like that. But this was so busy and so much going on and so much show oriented that it was very distracting. And then finally, in my opinion, this food was not very good. We had meatballs that Nick could have used for basketballs. We had the Swedish meatballs that were literally basketballs. So that was my opinion of this restaurant. But please give yours because it's
I mean, I think again, this has a dinner show feel to it. So this is very much a show, and you're being fed. And I actually felt sorry for the wait staff because they're trying to sneak stuff in front of you as the show is going on. So it's. It has that very much that feel. This was, I agree with you, this was my third of the three rotational restaurants in terms of food quality. I'm hard pressed to come up with what I had. It was all fine, but it was, of the three of them, it was my least favorite. We were lucky we had seats right at, literally right next to the stage. So, and we were just us. So we had great seats. We didn't have the communal seats. But it's loud in there and they're singing and there's show going on. And, so it's a very different, if you're looking for the dinner where you can all just sit and chat, that's not the space for you, but it's one of your nights on the ship. So.
And Frozen, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble here. Frozen seems like a show that would be appealed to, younger kids.
Correct.
And maybe more girls. So maybe was Nick, was it something that even interested him, or was it kind of like, let's eat and get out of here?
No, he was fine. I mean, he gives his dad a lot of leeway, and I was busy taking pictures around the place, and we went back, and it's a place. So on the back of the ship is Tangled, and it from the windows outside of restaurant, you can actually see the Tangled back on the back of the ship. It's the closest space you can see it. And I think probably the closest you can see on any of the ships. None of the other ones have windows back there. So we wanted to do that. And by the time you're there 12 and 13, you're kind of figure out, okay, what do I need to do to entertain him? But it wasn't, he enjoyed the show, but it wasn't something that blew his socks away.
It feels like you guys have a good give and take,
yeah.
Right? Let's do this for me. We'll do this for you. We'll make sure that everybody gets in what they want. And it's interesting because, there's very little discussion, right, about the actual food. And I think that's kind of what Disney is doing here and is doing best, is it's about the experience.
Right.
And it's about the space, and it's about the immersiveness of your meal. And, there's good food, but I think that as we're talking about this, you're not talking specifically about items that you had that quote-unquote blew you away or the best thing ever. But with that said, let's move on to the other venues, because I have a feeling there might be something.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to what I think is the biggest, it's the biggest difference, but also the biggest add on the ship is the quick service locations. So they have what's called the Festival of Foods, and it's on the kind of pool deck and wraps around. It's all covered. It's more open on the other ships. This one's kind of more covered. And it has different stations that are all around. They have what I will call like Chipotle, a Mexican, you can get tacos or burritos or all those kinds of things. That was great. They have a barbecue place that's on the very back of the ship. They have, of course, the ice cream station where you can get ice cream. There's of course hamburgers, hot dogs. You can get those. We didn't do the hamburgers, hot dogs. My son, I think, almost ate them out of barbecue. I mean, Nick was, he would have never left there. He could have done that every meal. He was in heaven. He thought that was the best thing ever.
My God, that barbecue was spectacular.
It was really, really good.
We talk about these other venues and what did you eat? And you're kind of like struggling to figure out what you ate. This is what I remember. I remember the barbecue was unbelievable on the ship. Like we would go back and just over and over again. And even hot dogs were great. Hamburgers were great. Everything on this deck was really spectacular. So we were happy about this space when it came to actual food offered.
Yeah, no, it was, and it's well done. And there's a variety of different things that I don't think you find on other Disney ships. So it was really, really enjoyable. And it's a fun place to hang out too. There was enough seating and stuff. So I got tacos, which were great. And you could get them made to just like Chipotle. You can get them made the way you want them, which is really nice. So that was great. The buffet area is called Marceline Market, as opposed to the cabanas on the other ships. On the last show, we talked about how things feel more compact, and this is where I noticed it. I think the most was it felt tight getting through this space. It felt crowded to me. The food was, good. It's a buffet food. They serve you, as opposed to on cabanas on the other ships, you serve yourself. This you get served, which is different.
When you say serve you, they're plating the food. You hold your plate
out
and they plate the food.
So they just have it behind glass and then they put it on a plate for you.
Exactly. Kind of a shift that's happened since COVID. We see this on a lot of cruise ships now. That the buffet area is very little interaction between the people and the food itself, health, safety reasons.
Right. Yeah, and I totally get it. They tend to put, I'm always cautious about how much I eat on a ship because it's easy to have it get away from you. And so we're always giving me more and I feel bad about wasting it. It was, as I say, the food, I think the quick service food was so good that this ends up being a secondary place that we would go because, we would want to go get barbecue or go get tacos or go get
right.
So this wasn't the main place we would go to get where that's not true on the other ships. So
exactly right. So that that area is an incredible addition to the ships. Yeah. And I hope they continue it on all ships. I hope they retrofit the older ships with it as well.
And they do have a coffee shop. We, you know, there's a bunch of coffee shops around. It's not, you can't just get fancy coffee. I mean, you can get free coffee, but some people like higher end coffee. They have a coffee shop in that Marceline Market area. So you can get coffee there if that's what you want. They also, it's also a little bar. So you can get, if you want some, a glass of wine or something, you, or a cocktail, you can get that there too, which I found to be a nice add. And I know it's on the other, they have one on the other ships, but it's, it was felt more prominent to me on this, on the Wish. So
one of the things I liked about Marceline Market, I don't know if it was because of the sailing we were on specifically, but great many of the people, servers would come up or the staff would come up and ask us, can we get you anything? Can we go up and get it for you? So that was a nice little addition was, you know what? I don't feel like going up there and waiting in line. Can you go and grab me something? So was that the case when you were there, or was it mine because it was a...
Yeah, as I said, we had breakfast there one morning, but we were really enjoying the quick service place. So we spent a lot more time up there than we did in Marceline Market. You know, it felt to me like similar to the other, other buffet on the other ships. So we wanted to try the new stuff. And so we didn't spend nearly as much time back there as we have on other cruises.
You mentioned you stayed concierge. Tell us about the concierge lounge and the food and the offerings there.
So the concierge lounge is lovely. It's a good size. So plenty of space for people. They have a nice deck upstairs too, that you can go and sit on if you want to take food. They do have some offerings up there. And they have cocktails at night that I have clients who say, oh, it's free. And I said, well, how about we just say it's included? It's included exactly. In your price. And those are all good. The food was, you know, we ended up, as I say, I was on this race to see as much of this ship as I possibly could. So we didn't spend a ton of time in there, but it all looked great. And I think one time they were doing a character meet and greet up there. And I always like doing that. So we did get a munchies to eat while we were there, but that was the extent of it, but it all looked delicious. So,
you know, it's tough because we like to say concierge, but there's so much food and so much available to you that it's like, well, what do I do? Do I sit here and have something before I go to dinner? So sometimes it's kind of a redundancy that you don't really need.
And I think particularly on a 3-night cruise, I'm not sure if you get to use the service that comes along with, what I always tell clients if they say, oh, is concierge worth it? And I never like getting into the worth it question because that's a judgment call on your part. Your budget is your budget, and I don't know how you want to spend your money. The way that I basically say to folks is if you're going to try and put this in a spreadsheet to see if it pays out, don't do concierge because it's not going to, you're not going to be able to eat and drink enough to make that the cost difference pay off. That being said, the service that you get is amazing. And you have this team that will look after anything you want. You don't, on a 3-night cruise, you don't get to really experience or deal with that a whole bunch. So it's, I'm not sure it's fully worth it, but, there were a couple of people, we were talking to folks who were in the tower suite. So inside the front funnel is a whole suite. And I think you can sleep, I think it's 10 or 11 people in there. It's incredible. But it's, and they were telling us about that. And I think for that, there you're like getting this amazing room and amazing space. And so that's, I think, different and okay, doing that, but. So there's a lot of factors if you're doing concierge to think about.
And a lot of times for us, for Kevin and myself, concierge is a lot about the room we get.
Right.
You get exactly. A bigger room, you get something that's a suite. So in addition to the services, you get the room that you want and the location on the ship that you want. So it's all got to be bundled together. You got to think about it all together as a package for sure. Any last words about food that you want folks to know? Anything you want to tell folks about the Disney Wish and dining?
One of the things that I always tell people is if you're doing something special on board, the most recent three restaurants all have a higher end ice cream location. On this one, it's all themed around Inside Out. It's called Joyful Sweets. And if you're like, if you're having a birthday or anniversary or something, you can go up there and order. They have these sundaes, and you can order it and have it delivered to your rotational dining table. And they'll bring down these special sundaes. And it's a great way to like kick up your celebration a little bit. Again, there's a fee associated with that location. So it's not included in your dinner price, but it is a fun way to celebrate something if you're doing something like that.
Define fancy and special sundae.
So they have one, it comes in this, the one on the, for sweets, comes in a Pixar, the Bing Bong head, half elephant kind of guy. And so I think it's 5 scoops of ice cream and a bunch of toppings, 6 toppings or something. And it makes a very dramatic, it's dramatic and fun. And I will tell you, not this, we went on a cruise a couple years ago, and it was 2 of the people that I was traveling with, it was their birthday. And so I ordered sundaes down for them. And the table next to us was all looking and like, how do you get those?
Right. And
it was funny because the server brought them all down, and literally as they're about 5 feet from the table, they were in these things and they all tottered over.
It was, oh no.
It was fine for us. Like but they went back and brought new ones and brought a whole plate of like cookies and everything. And the people, there were a couple of kids at the table who were really yearning for some of the stuff. And I said, hey, we weren't going to eat all that stuff. So I gave all the cookies and stuff to them, and they thought they had like died and gone to heaven. They were very excited. So,
well, it sounds like one of these could be shared by a table, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Friends. They're big. Like it's more than, I mean, Nick eats everything these days. He's a vacuum of food, but he eats one. But I split. My better half and I, Sam and I, split one. So,
excellent. It sounds like a great addition to anybody's cruise.
Yeah, it makes it fun if you're doing. I have a client who's doing a 40th anniversary, and I suggested to him, and I think they've ordered them and going to do them. So it's fun. It's fun.
Excellent. All right. Sounds great. It sounds like you guys had a great time on your cruise. Sounds like you had a lot of fun.
It was fantastic. I as I say, we talked a little bit on the last one that the Wish, I think, has gotten a lot of people who like grimaced about it, because it's very different than the other ships. It has a different feel than the other ships. The other 4 all have a similar feel to them, and the flow is similar, and you get used to that. This one's different. And you know, my joke on the last, when we were talking about it before, is Disney folks love change as long as everything stays the same. This one's different, and I think people are still getting used to that. If it's your first Disney cruise, you're gonna love it. It's a fantastic ship, and just enjoy the food. It's really, really good.
And they're doing something right, because their ships are going out full. So yeah, people are loving it, whatever the opinions were in the past. Yeah. Chris, thanks so much. I really appreciate your opinion. Sounds like you guys had fun, and I kind of wish I was with you.
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
Next time. I want to remind folks, if you'd like to book your vacation, your Disney Cruise Line vacation with Dreams Unlimited Travel, we do offer a shipboard credit of up to $1,000 for you to spend on board. You can get one of those sundaes Chris was talking about. It's about $1,000 for one of those, I assume. And in addition to that, you get our gift bag. Every client receives a gift bag prior to sailing, and it is full of things we think will help make your cruise a better experience for you. If you're interested in booking with Dreams Unlimited Travel, you can contact Chris at chrisv@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com or your Dreams Unlimited Travel agent. Or if you don't have an agent, you can write to me, john@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Thank you, everybody at home, for listening and watching. We hope you have a great week, and we hope you have a great vacation.